Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this edition of Inside Scoop Live. This is one of many features presented to you by Reader Views. I'm your host, Gail Campbell. Hello, and thank you for tuning in. Today I'm chatting with Jeffrey Williams about his book, Anne Bonny, My Pirate Story. Great title. But before we dive into his book, I'd like to tell you a little bit about him. Jeffrey has been a high school English teacher and water polo coach for some 20 years now in Clovis Unified Schools. In February, he received the California Association for Teachers of English Classroom Excellence Award for 2007. Periodically, Jeff writes educational chapters on classroom lessons for the San Joaquin Valley Writing Project publications. Prior to teaching, Jeffrey worked as a journalist and copy editor for the Merced Sun-Star and Fresno Bee, and wrote freelance articles for such national publications as Leadership Journal, Catholic Digest, Columbia Magazine, and Christianity Today. In 1994, Jeffrey completed a master's degree in creative writing at California State University in Fresno and published short stories for literary journals such as the San Joaquin Review and Epiphany. This is his first novel, Anne Bonny, My Pirate Story, and is published with iUniverse. Despite the challenges of self-promotion, the novel has become an editor's and reader's choice with iUniverse and was made a book club selection for CatholicMom.com. It has also been taken on as a screenplay project by Tara Penley, associate producer of the DVD for Double Indemnity and Poseidon, and most recently has earned a second-place award in the Reader Views Literacy Program. Jeffrey has been married for 22 years to his wife, Catherine, who also teaches, and they have an 18-year-old son, Calvin, who will be graduating from high school this June. He is in the process of finding a literary agent to represent his new novel, Redeemer, which we'll want to hear a little bit more about. This is a psychological crime thriller set in the Fresno-Clovis area where Jeffrey has lived since 1967. Jeffrey, welcome to the program. How is all that?
Wow, thank you very much. That was more impressive than I'm used to considering.
Oh, hey. Well, listen, it's a delight to have you on the program. What a dynamic background you have.
Wow, I guess so. The more, when you read it that way, it comes off down that way. It seems like a pretty normal life to me, just kind of one thing after another. But,
well, that's right. You've lived it day by day, and it's gone past you, and here we are trying to capture it all in a few little sentences here.
Exactly.
And this is your first novel.
Yes, it is. And I've tinkered with various kinds of writing, obviously, in the journalistic field and chapters for, I've seen educational publications and some satires and various short stories. But, yeah, This is the first time I decided to embrace the larger challenge of the novel.
Okay. Well, and that being said, I would like to ask you, if you would at this point in time, tell the audience a little bit about the essence of Anne Bonny, My Pirate Story.
Well, I found Anne Bonny a really fascinating character. She is actually born in the early 1700s in Ireland. She's the illegitimate daughter of an aristocrat. And one thing leads to another. She finds herself in the New World with her family, but finds herself rebelling against the strictures of the aristocratic expectations of life, and elopes with an indentured servant, and dreams actually of living in the sea. And it's during that time that she actually finds herself on an island of pirates. And again, one thing leading to another, she makes the decision to disguise herself as a man and to hop on board a pirate ship with the notorious pirates of Captain Calico Jack Rackham. And so the story explores a friendship she forges with a Mary Read and the experience she has as a pirate and ultimately facing execution, though she will actually dodge that through the help of her father. Just a fascinating story of pirates and of history, because she is an actual figure of history.
Well, in fact, that's right. I was going to say this. Even though this is a novel, the novel is based on a lot of fact, isn't it?
Yes. If you, looked in history books or got online, you could find out a fair amount, at least about the broad strokes of Anne Bonny's life.
Wow. Okay. And now, obviously, your career, your own personal history has involved a lot of writing, not necessarily something of this magnitude, but what inspired you to take this next big step?
I guess it's one of those things that probably every almost anybody you talk to might think that maybe they have a novel inside them.
Mm-hmm.
It is something I thought a lot about, even as early as, grade school. I was raised in a family of storytellers, and I always had that kind of fire in the belly to tell stories, and particularly if people are enjoying it. I'm quite a storyteller when it comes to school. But one thing that I found is that I was sitting with my son one day when he was much younger, and
mm-hmm.
We were reading about pirates when he was a little child sitting in bed, a nighttime story.
Mm-hmm.
And I just grew really interested in this story about Anne Bonny. And so then what followed was I did some research and realized I had a wonderful potential of a novel. Well, it took me a long time to get around to it, but I was telling the story to family and friends and to my students every year, and pretty much everybody would say, come on, Williams, get it on the page. And so I guess it's basically been a lot of encouragement and goading and all that finally led me to say, okay, I'm finding my muse, so I'm going to buckle down and start writing. And I found it a wonderful experience to the extent that now I'm working on a couple other novels right now.
Exactly. The next one being Redeemer, is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And now, Jeffrey, I haven't had a chance to read the book yet, and of course I rarely ever will read the book before doing an interview. And so I'd like to ask you about your writing style, especially as it differs from the kind of writing that you've done pretty much all your life.
Yeah, journalistic writing and writing for educational journals, you drop the adverbs and the adjectives, and it's pretty straightforward and factual, and even the sentence structure tends to be a little more on the simple side. When it comes to trying to describe a character or a setting or some action and using dialogue, obviously you're being a little bit more creative in your wordsmithing and trying to capture the essence at times of just the scene and the texture of the situation that's being described,
mm-hmm.
and which is a lot of fun because you get to act like a pirate. Your mind gets to move into various areas that you never will hope to be. And so
right.
I really found the creative impulse of writing about this time and period, just a lot of fun, basically.
Now, you teach English right now.
Yes.
And so in the course of that, you have a chance to delve a little bit into history, but probably not a lot.
Probably more so in this book, if you read it, you'll find that I have cause because Calico Jack Rackham was actually known as a gentleman pirate. He was actually well-read and eloquent and articulate when it came to the letters, and as well as raised with a pretty formal education. So what I do, actually, is I use a lot of my English background from the standpoint of using allusions to all kinds of old-time works that would have been well-known and written back then. And so they are either quoting them or at times interacting with those stories, like a Robinson Crusoe or Shakespeare, Dante, some of these pretty well-known writers back in that time period that
mm-hmm.
a well-read person would have, been involved
would have read.
In. So I use that material at various times, hopefully to, help you understand character and drive the story in various ways.
Well, exactly. And it just sounds like you had a lot of fun with this.
Yeah, I don't know much more to say other than that. But, I found just the creative process itself is a lot of fun because, I sit down at the computer, and I don't really know exactly where I'm headed. I mean, I know kind of where I'm going to end up, but where I'm headed may be in the middle part of the book. And it was kind of interesting almost to have a battle with my mind sometimes, that my mind would seem to take the story in a direction I had no intention to go. And it was like, well, okay, let's just roll this and see where it goes. And that wasn't always perfect, but sometimes you'd get to the end saying, wow, where did that come from? And, which is sort of a nice experience.
Sure. Well, did you find along the way that you had to rearrange parts of this at times?
Oh, sure. Yeah, the editing process is probably more laborious than the writing process.
Mm.
I'm sure most writers would own up to that.
Well, yes, I've talked to a number who at various times have said, look, I've poured all I can into this. The rest of it's up to you.
Yeah, absolutely. My wife helped me, and I enlisted the help of a couple friends because one of the really probably foolish things I decided to do for a first novel was try to write it from the viewpoint, a first-person point of view, of a woman of the 1700s,
yeah.
Which I'm not from the 1700s, and I'm not a woman.
Exactly.
So that's a perilous direction to go, and so what I did was, one, read a bunch of books more from that period to get a sense of the language, but what's more is I enlisted the help of my wife and a good friend of hers to look it over and say, okay, does this, I know it sounds funny, but does this sound like and think like a woman? And sometimes they go, they just shake their head and they say, no, no, no. And other times they're like, wow, where did you learn this? I go, I'm not really sure. I guess I've been around women long enough to figure out a couple things.
Well, Jeffrey, in that arena, when your wife and her friend would read parts of this and say, no, that's not necessarily how I as a woman would have approached it, did you make those adjustments, obviously? I guess this is probably a silly question. Obviously, you probably did, didn't you?
Well, it's interesting. You know, I'd say several times I did. Every once in a while, I'd explain myself and actually convince them, and they would actually take a step back and say, you know what, that's actually a little more intuitive than we were giving you credit for.
Oh, wow.
But probably the funniest part that cropped up was at one point my wife was reading a section that happened to be of a romantic aspect,
mm-hmm.
and she just set down the manuscript at one point, and she looked at me and she goes, you're really leaving me unsatisfied.
Oh!
And I looked at her, and I wanted to make sure that she was actually talking about the book and not something else in our life.
Right.
And we got that clarified, so I was feeling better about that. And then, you know, she just said, you know, men, they just don't understand romance.
Oh.
And so we had these amusing conversations and made some changes to try to, you know, make it a little more romantic so that, because the reality is actually, because I'm writing from a female point of view, probably, you know, there's more women than men that might read my book. And the reality, too, is that we know statistically that more women read novels than men do in this world as well. So
mm-hmm.
from both those standpoints, I had to, if I'm going to write about a woman, I also want to think in terms of, well, giving some satisfaction, so to speak, when it comes to various decisions and thoughts that a female character would have.
Well, you know, this must have been an enlightening process for you.
Oh, yeah. There was a lot of interesting things to consider. You know, at one point, Anne is having a baby. Again, while I did, I was involved in making sure my son was born, my wife actually ended up having a C-section, so we didn't really have that experience firsthand. And so a lot of these things were a matter of, you know, asking people questions and learning just various thoughts and feelings. And, of course, you pick up these things on various movies and books that you read. So it was a very interesting exploration, so to speak.
I would think.
And then, ironically, the book I'm writing now, Redeemer, I don't know why, I didn't really set out to do this, and it is written a third-person point of view this time, but I'm also having the main point of view character, a woman, so I don't know.
Again, well, you know, I like that. I think it's a great way, whether it's a woman trying to write from a man's perspective or a man trying to write from a woman's perspective, it puts the writer in the position of learning something very, very different from what they've experienced personally in life.
Yeah, indeed.
Huh, that's amazing. Well, okay, now Jeffrey, if you were to target a segment of the reading audience with your book, would there be a segment that you would be targeting?
Well, I'd say that it's not a children's book. Pirate stories, generally speaking, you know, even the Pirates of the Caribbean, I think the target audience for that, or for, you know, a lot of pirate books are, you know, in the elementary school years or the middle school years. But this book is more of an adult approach to realistic experience of the pirates. Since pirates were adults,
mm-hmm.
I write it from that particular standpoint. So I would say, you know, the students in my high school class, you know, the 17 and 18-year-olds, which I teach seniors,
mm-hmm.
Many of them have read the book and expressed, you know, the fact that they enjoyed it and they found it interesting. And so it's very appropriate for that. And then I've talked to some of my mother's friends who are in their 80s,
mm-hmm.
and they've expressed pleasure in reading the book and finding an interest in the character and the situations that she's facing. So I would be so bold as to say anywhere from, you know, 17 or 16 or 17 all the way up to, you know, one.
All the way up there to live,
yeah.
Wow, okay, well, that's fabulous.
And if I could say one other thing, I've also been encouraged, you know, to have several men come up to me and say, I really enjoyed the book. It's not just a book for, it's not, you know, as they say, chick lit. It's something that, you know, all people can appreciate, because obviously there's men who are pirates and she's acting like a man all the time. So it's got a lot of the grit and adventure that a man might at times appreciate more.
Yeah, and along the way, because you're a guy, you can certainly lend her a great deal more strength than maybe a woman might necessarily consider herself to possess.
Yeah.
I like that. What a great idea. I'd never thought of it quite from that perspective before, because I don't think there are that many authors out there that would dare to venture into trying to write a book from the gender of the other sex.
It seems like there's more women who are inclined to try that and write about a man than the other way around.
Uh-huh.
At least that's my experience. I know of a few other examples out there, but as I was looking around, I was getting more and more nervous when I first decided to tackle this. Like, okay, am I just, again, you know, getting on some thin ice here? But, again, overall, I've gotten a great deal of encouragement and support, so I've been, overall pleasantly surprised.
Well, great. And it sounds like you had a lot of support along the way from, you know, female support, your wife, her friends, your mother and her friends. And, of course, it was a story that you read to your son when he was a small child, so I suspect you had a lot of support from him, too, in this writing process.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Hey, I think the thing is that is good about the story, too, I just found, and that's part of the reason I gravitated to it, is because I feel like it has a real modern quality to it. And I don't mean modern from the standpoint of modern pirates, but I mean modern from the standpoint of a person interacting with the very real issues of being a woman in a society of men who, to some degree, maybe not showing the kind of respect that a woman would wish, and how a woman is able to confront that and deal with that, and more often than not, overcome it, and find a level of both respect and peace in the process.
Well, as a matter of fact, the next question I was going to ask you is, what would you like for people to come away having an understanding of, or having learned from reading this story?
Well, I'd say it works on a couple different levels. Just first and foremost, I guess you could talk about the idea of one could walk away learning a fair amount about the golden age of piracy. It is a historical piece of literature, so one can just find out some things about the way pirates behaved and thought in a more realistic way.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, it's also a kind of prodigal story. And being a prodigal story, we have a person who turns her back on her family and on the things that maybe she was raised with in terms of values and principles.
Mm-hmm.
And she becomes a pirate. I mean, that she does some things that aren't very nice. I mean, for a main character, the reader occasionally has to just sort of accept that she's on her journey, and some of the choices she makes are not ones that the reader would make because they are either violent or cruel or illegal or sinful.
Mm-hmm.
But as the story progresses, Anne starts to realize some things about maybe some of the unromantic or empty promises of the pirate life, as well as starts to understand some things about her own self and the things that she cherishes. You know, one thing that she did was she left her husband because she thought he was weak. But later on, she starts to learn some important truths about what is real strength and what is real weakness.
Mm-hmm.
And her husband even has a chance to grow a little bit. And later on, they'll have the opportunity to reunite.
Really?
And of course, it's pretty rocky and it's pretty rough, but ultimately they find a way to, reconcile. Something that to me is interesting in today's culture when we have such a high divorce rate, but I've had a few friends who, even though they've had rocky times in their marriage and separated, even divorced,
mm-hmm.
years later, they've sometimes, in a couple cases, they've reunited and made the marriage work again and renewed their vows. And,
mm-hmm.
and that's been, I think, a pretty exciting kind of story to look at from my standpoint.
Well, it is true. It is true that we are here. We have a lot to learn, and we are each one on a journey. And along the way, how often can we look back, down the path of our own life experiences and look at choices we made, and at this particular point, later, older, wiser in our lives, we would have made a different choice. But if we hadn't made the wrong choice, we might not be as wise as we are today. We might not have learned to soften up a little bit, huh?
Oh, absolutely. And like I said, Anne makes her share. It is a kind of coming of age story too, because I trace it from at age 8 all the way up to about age 19. And
wow.
Between those years of 17 and 19, she's embraced a pretty rebellious life of piracy, which probably wouldn't be unusual to some of the students I see in my high school that sometimes, unfortunately, spin out of control and enter a world that includes, drugs and dropping out of school and just making choices that might even get them put in juvenile hall. But I've seen some of these same students that come around, sort of mature, grow, see the light,
mm-hmm.
start to realize that these choices that I'm making are not going to make me happy, and I'm going to lose a lot more than I'm going to gain in these experiences.
That's right. Free. It is called freedom of choice for a reason. However, that reason does not include being able to escape the consequences of those choices.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, I mean, the book, a fair number of people die in the end of this book, and it's based on the historical record, but basically all the crew that Anne sails with are hanged because they were ultimately caught. And this is also a book about the end of the golden age of piracy, because essentially governments, particularly Britain, led the charge of saying, look, we got to stamp this problem out, because they were causing such a major disruption in merchant shipping and cutting in deep into the profits of various countries. And so they made a commitment to get out there and stop this. And so the pirates, at first, who seemed to have a lot of prominence, suddenly were on the run. And Rackham's is one of the last of the ships that is tracked down and captured.
Wow. Well, and of course, the whole notion of piracy is not dead, unfortunately, and it's even more vicious in today's world than it was then.
Yeah, boy, literally from the waters they talk about, in the Indian waters, there's still quite a few what they call modern-day pirates, and then, of course, the whole idea of piracy from probably a more American standpoint is the kind of theft that goes on online.
And brutality.
Yeah.
Brutality. Again, I don't know if we romanticized the piracy period from the what you're calling the golden era back in the 1700s and early 1800s, or if it was always that brutal and we just don't know that much about those stories. I don't know, but I know the stories we hear today are just brutal about piracy.
There's something about, I think, the flamboyant sort of rock star, bad boy, maverick image of standing up against a government that's putting too many strictures on. There's a kind of revolutionary spirit that the pirates had. And actually, what is interesting from the standpoint of what they contributed, they had, one of the rare systems of a truly democratic system on board pirate ships. Even the captain only had one vote. And pirate captains were frequently voted off as captains, and other people were put in place.
No
and
kidding.
So it was a fascinating democratic system that was short-lived, but it did exist on a pirate ship that ultimately, I'm not saying America was inspired by it, but it mirrors to some degree what America sought to do.
Really?
What democracy sought to do. So that is a unique idea. Whether it's a full inspiration or not, there's not really that much historical, proof out there, but it is a recognition that just as pirates were practicing democracy, a lot of countries were looking to, well, at least American, was looking to create a true democracy.
Wow. Without embarking upon out-and-out mutiny, right?
usually they didn't have mutinies as often on pirate ships. Mutinies occurred a lot more often on merchant ships or war vessels that represented countries. But on the pirate ship itself, usually the vote would be taken and the captain would accept it. Now, in some rare cases, the captain was so strong that he could terrorize the men. But in other cases, Rackham was an example of somebody that he used to be under the captain of Charles Vane, a character that's in the book, and the crew votes Vane off, and when he resists, they go ahead and force him off the ship.
Oops.
Yeah.
The gangplank way?
No, not quite like that. They just drop him off. They
off
at an island and let him fend for himself.
Oh, okay.
He tries to start his own, another crew, and he ends up getting caught and actually is executed before Rackham, which, again, puts Rackham in a position of starting to realize, well, the jig is up, time is not on our side, and, do we run or do we just keep on going? And I don't know, there was a fatalism also that the pirates had, that they knew, that this wouldn't be able to go on forever.
Right.
Very few pirates ever lived to old age.
Well, they had an exciting short life. Is this it?
That's pretty much it. I guess that's the appeal for a lot of people, is the flamboyant kind of maverick,
adventure,
colorful way of doing things. That's not unlike sometimes today's rock stars that oftentimes don't live a real long, rich life, but they live it with a lot of gusto while they're at it, and it can be pretty destructive if they're not careful.
True, very true, very true. Well, Jeffrey, your book sounds delightful. And it sounds like it's a delightful read, a coming-of-age story based on fact, and a really, really enjoyable read. As we're getting ready to kind of wind things up here, and as we do, would you please tell the audience your website?
Yes, I'd love to have you come and send an email to me. But it's www.jeffreyswilliams.com. And to clarify, The Jeffery is spelled J-E-F-F-E-R-Y.
Correct.
A little quirk of my mother's. And I have a lot of my work of the past on there, so you could, if you want to read other things that I've written, and also an opportunity if you'd like to send an email to me. I'd love to hear from you and love to write you back.
Well, wonderful. And also, hopefully everyone can keep up with how things are coming and when you're going to release Redeemer.
Yes, like I said, I'm in the process. I've got agents looking at it right now.
Right.
It just takes a little bit of time sometimes.
Right.
And, but I'll always keep that updated on the website.
Great. So that's www.jeffery, J-E-F-F-E-R-Y, middle initial S as in Sam, Williams, plural, .com.
Yep.
Great. And where can listeners go to buy your book?
Right now, the easiest place is online.
Okay.
There's some talk of it being released on Barnes & Noble bookstores, but I'm not 100% certain of that yet.
That may
be in the summer with the coming out of the Pirates of the Caribbean movie. But otherwise, online, Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, iUniverse.com.
Your website?
My website, of course. I don't really sell it.
Will they have links to Barnes & Noble and Amazon.com from there,
yes,
too,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. My website would give them links to that.
Right, right.
And Reader's Views.
And Reader Views, that's right. Reader Views. As well, everyone out there, I want everyone to know that on www.insidescooplive.com, there will be an author's page created for Jeffery Williams, and this interview will be posted to that website, and readerviews.com and jeffreyswilliams.com will both have links to this interview. So I want to encourage everyone out there to take a look and take a listen and consider purchasing this book for your own enjoyment as well as a gift. Jeffery, I want to thank you for joining me today.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
And audience, thank you for tuning in to this segment of Inside Scoop Live. I'm your host, Gail Campbell. Until the next time, bye.